you so much. So I'm going to build on what Dr. Andrulis just presented on our health equity and ACA work and talk a little bit more about a specific initiative that we undertook with support from the San Francisco Foundation, explicitly focused around outreach and enrollment efforts for racially and ethnically diverse communities. I do want to point out that we are, there are seven projects that we've been undertaking around health equity and the Affordable Care Act, and it's a team effort. Dr. Andrulis, of course, is PI. I'm on the team, as well as Lauren Jenke, who couldn't be here. Maria Cooper is here, as well as others. So I just wanted to acknowledge. And we have no, both of us, have no relationships to disclose. So I'll jump right into it. Before I get into the report and the study itself, I do want to just set the stage and the context. It's been a very exciting environment to be able to monitor what's been happening with the law, with the Affordable Care Act, and what it means for communities of color, both in terms of opportunities and challenges. It's exciting, but it's also a daunting task because, you know, every time we think we've got it and we've tracked it and we've monitored it and we put out a report, things have changed. So it's a very changing and evolving environment. And so what we present here and the report that we issued around outreach and enrollment and reaching diverse populations was a report we put out in May. And so the findings, while they're from May, I think hold a lot of relevance and significance now as we've transitioned into the second enrollment period. Of course, there are additional lessons learned on top of what's being presented here, so I just do want to note that. So the goals of our study, we really set out to review state marketplace programs and strategies to reach, educate, and enroll diverse communities in culturally and linguistically appropriate ways. Our focus was mainly on state-based marketplaces, given the fact that some of our work, our prior work, really showed that these are the marketplaces that are really showing some of the leading efforts in addressing health equity. The state-based marketplaces, many of them are the ones that are actually making an explicit effort, as Dennis mentioned, to integrate health equity into the very mission, vision, objectives of the marketplace structure. And so that was the focus. We really wanted to identify promising practices and models, lessons learned, what are some of the shortcomings, challenges, barriers, and then identify what are some actions, priorities moving forward. And the focus was really on navigators and in-person assister programs that were funded, and so not as much on the call centers and other assistance staff. We reviewed federal regulations, state-based experiences, and lessons to basically, as I mentioned, identify some of those promising strategies and models for reaching diverse communities. There were six key areas that really are focus topics and priority areas. We wanted to understand how are navigator and assister programs structured to where they're addressing health equity explicitly in community? How are they engaging diverse communities? Training, what kind of navigator and assister training and content is provided, and to what extent does it address health equity issues and priorities? Marketing and communication, outreach and enrollment, and finally, data and evaluation. And the process involved reviewing literature, review of web-based programs from states, really publicly available literature and information that's out there, coupled with key informant interviews that we did with some of the leading states, California, Connecticut, Colorado, Oregon, Maryland, who initially we identified as among the leading. And then all of that information we compiled and developed an interim report, basically, that then in April, that March-April of this year, was shared with San Francisco Bay Area-based constituents, a community forum that we brought together with a dual purpose: to share the information, what we're learning from across the country in terms of outreach and enrollment efforts for diverse communities, but then to have this group give back to us and share with us their reactions, their perspectives, reaffirming, reinforcing, or identifying additional areas of focus specifically for that region. So before I move on, I wanted to contextualize again that the ACA really has made an explicit effort to address health equity. In fact, for those in the health equity field, I mean, it was a victory in and of itself to have some of these terms, concepts acknowledged in the law. And so a few of them around navigators and assisters. As most of you may know, the ACA explicitly includes language around the need for navigators to provide information in a manner that is culturally and linguistically appropriate, including to individuals with limited English proficiency. And then subsequent rules and regulations added specificity as to what that meant. So, for example, the 2012 final rules that came out saying that these programs must be accessible, including to those with limited English proficiency, and providing free language services that include oral interpretation, written translations, taglines, and non-English languages, and so forth. Following that, there was also regulations that came out on training for navigators. And again, a lot of specificity to much to our surprise around the need to train on the national class standards that the Office of Minority Health issued issued in 2000 and renewed in 2013. The national standards on culturally and linguistically appropriate services that is required for federally funded navigators and assisters that were initially funded through those state establishment grants. And again, there's specificity in these regulations around the different kinds of areas where the class standards can be used and applied to the navigator program. For example, in obtaining and maintaining knowledge about diverse groups, including their cultural health beliefs, practices, and languages, so that informs the development of the navigator program, the types of communication methods, messages, so forth. Understanding demographic composition of communities. Again, many states did do this and are doing this, but there are other states that could build on these initiatives. Providing language assistance, providing oral and written notices in accessing language assistance. Assuring that navigators receive ongoing education and training on class, and implementing strategies to recruit a diverse staff. So going through some of these areas, I'm going to share with you, we have those six topic areas. Well, what did we uncover from our review and what did we learn from our community forum that engaged about 40 community advocates, community clinic folks, navigators, assisters to respond to and share with us related experiences? In terms of structure and design, again, I know every state varies in how they're approaching their navigator program. What we uncovered were there were largely two different scenarios emerging. And the one that's really been showing promise is that hub and spoke model that both California and Connecticut have implemented, where a marketplace contracts with hub entities, which then subcontract with the spokes, or smaller community organizations that are really anchored in communities and can work to reach individuals. So Connecticut, for example, has divided the state into six geographic regions, and each region has a navigator entity that manages then and coordinates with individual assisters. And these individual assisters have the capability of, they speak over 30 different languages and work to reach different population groups. California recently, in their most recent program, has done something similar. They have about 66 lead navigator grantees that subcontract with over 161 organizations. And these organizations, in many cases, have been selected based on the populations that they're able to reach by geography, by race, by ethnicity, LGBT, and so forth. Selection of organizations has been key to community engagement and collaboration. Marketplaces are making a careful and effort to select local organizations to serve as navigators and assisters. Among a lot of the application processes and in selecting these organizations is that organizations be not only representative of the communities you're trying to reach, but really anchored. A lot of those that are having success are in many ways those that have been entrenched in these communities for have a long history or trusted organizations. They have a mission of serving specific populations. Trust, again, very key. Another thing that that states are building on is the experience with Medicaid and CHIP. And then also assuring that organizations are able to communicate in culturally and linguistically appropriate ways to the constituents they're trying to reach. Also important for community engagement and collaboration and strategies for engaging communities have been kind of two sets of strategies, one informal and then one formal. Informally, folks are, whether it be through community-based sites, fairs, forums, those have kind of been ways to engage individuals around this. More formally, what's been happening, as many of you may know and have been involved with, are more stakeholder advisory group type arrangements, where organizations are invited to serve on these advisory groups to really inform the planning process. Training is another area that we've been monitoring for navigators and assisters. We've been looking at, well, what does the federal government require around training related to language, culture, diversity, versus what states are requiring. Again, there is some variation. The federal training includes one module explicitly around diversity, equity, cultural, linguistic competence. There are about 75 content and scenario slides included within this module. And the content really is around how do you define culture? How do you avoid bias and stereotypes? What kinds of language access services should be made available to populations? How do you work with interpreters? And how do you assure non-discrimination? The federal website provides training materials in Spanish, but training is only available in English. And then there are many varying state marketplace trainings that have also emerged. What's been really interesting are some of the train-the-trainer models that are emerging, and a lot of proponents of the train-the-train model say that it takes the marketplace and the reliance on marketplace, if you will, out of the equation, because what some of these marketplaces are coming to learn is that training and education for these navigators is an ongoing process. There's no one answer to certain questions. The types of people that need to be reached are from different family arrangements, different immigration scenarios, all of that played out in California and many other states that one, you know, on-time training could not address, but that ongoing addressing of these challenges and issues was necessary. I'm going to take a quick water break, but these are some examples of state-based trainings that emerged across Colorado, Connecticut, California, and Washington. Again, what's a common thread across these states is, and in particular the state-based marketplaces, is there is an emphasis around providing education around culturally and linguistically appropriate services. Some overlap, some are building on the federal training module, but others are really extending a bit beyond it as well. Communication, we've been looking at how are marketplaces communicating for outreach and enrollment, what does marketing look like? Many, many different media being used, TV, radio, billboard, print. Explicitly important and key has been ethnic media, involving ethnic media in the process. Marketplace websites, of course, many of the marketplaces are providing online fact sheets, other kinds of brochures and print information. What we came to learn, though, was as folks generate messages and develop content for marketing, to populations, that the message is absolutely critical and key. And one of the challenges that California, a leading state, faced was that it really pushed too quickly to developing its content and outreach materials, especially those for Spanish-speaking populations. And what happened was, and what they acknowledge, and Covered California itself acknowledges, is we didn't really do a good job of translating information in the cultural context, so transcreating. And so a lot of folks talked about the importance of transcreation, adapting messages or concepts to another language or culture, keeping the same intent, and not having a literal word-for-word translation, which is absolutely important. Through our review, what we came to learn was that there are some common promising practices around crafting messages. Utilizing motivating messages, which may vary by racial and ethnic community. One motivating factor may not be the same as another, and I have a few examples in the next slide that I'll go over. Targeting individuals as well as families. Certain marketplaces were coming out with images of families, family structures. What was coming to be learned was, well, the individual can't relate to that. So making sure that there are messages around individuals. Tailoring messages for moderate income families and not just low income. And again, the key reasoning behind this is that the marketplace is not Medicaid, and so we're not reaching the Medicaid population. We're reaching just a little bit above, and there are different scenarios and challenges. I mean, you're actually having people buy into and pay costs out of their pocket versus what Medicaid offers. And so how do you, again, reframe some of that experience? Consider plain language and health literacy, and adapt graphics and colors as appropriate. And there are some examples here of motivating messages. Again, our report gets into some of that specificity. I did want to share some examples. I'm sure some of you may be familiar with these, but there were several examples that emerged about the importance of transcreating and where that went wrong. In California, for example, what happened was one ad that states, "Welcome to a new state of health. Welcome to Covered California." Does not have as much meaning when translated to Spanish to say we're in a new state of health for California. It's grammatically correct to translate it literally, but it doesn't have the same kind of nuance that they were trying to get that it has in English. Another quote, "One thing health policy experts love about Obamacare is that no one can be denied coverage for pre-existing health conditions. The state's health insurance exchange made this a selling point in almost all of its Spanish ads, but that doesn't resonate with Latinos. Many have never had insurance, never considered it." And this holds not just for the Hispanic Latino population, but for several other immigrant populations that, again, the concept of insurance just doesn't resonate with them. So how do we tailor, again, that messaging to different populations? And then the final is, another problem is that all early TV ads end with a web address and no phone number. So making sure that we consider some of these access-related issues. Outreach and enrollment. Many states are building on past efforts, particularly Medicaid and CHIP, working through trusted community organizations, recognizing that in-person and one-to-one assistance really is key. Connecticut's post-enrollment data, Covered California's experience and surveys all really emphasizes. And recognizing that most people require multiple touches, and in particular, racially and ethnically diverse. In fact, there was a survey that Enroll America did that said it takes about four times communication for African Americans and Latinos to buy into health insurance versus as compared to just one touch for an English-speaking person. So we have to make sure that one-to-one person is really reinforced. And also, again, the report goes into more information on, well, what are some promising community-based venues for outreach and enrollment? Data and evaluation is another portion of the report that we get into. Again, many states are really starting to assess what are their population demographics, their racial, ethnic composition, language needs, so forth. So data and needs assessments to inform the navigator outreach strategy. Key in addition to identifying needs is assets. Who are those trusted partners organizations? And also important and often not as much assessed and requires addressing are, well, what are their preferences? How do they want to be reached by information? Vetting information with these populations and so forth. Obviously, when all said and done, there are remaining challenges. There are challenges at the population level, at the marketplace-based level, and then the broader social-political level as well that remain as we move into future enrollment periods. Population-specific barriers, immigration status, and trust really come up, and the need to continue to make sure that populations understand that, you know, them providing information for eligibility isn't going to threaten their immigration status. And this isn't just something that undocumented immigrants are fearful of. It's lawfully present families in many cases that are really concerned and do not trust systems because either their family members are at stake or they themselves just feel insecure about it. Limited English proficiency, again, the need to continue to address that. Health insurance literacy has really come up. Well, now that you've got folks enrolled, how do you help them to the next level, to accessing care, helping them navigate and understand what their benefits are about? Limited access to internet also came up several times, that we can't just assume folks can enroll online and on their own. At marketplace-based challenges, resources is key. How do you basically allocate and dedicate resources to health equity priorities when there's so many other just IT-related and other priorities for the marketplace? Assuring culturally and linguistically appropriate messaging and outreach, and diversity among staffing of marketplace and those involved in outreach and enrollment. And then finally, the broader social political that we all are very much aware of, the political antipathy that not only shapes then myths and misconceptions among populations, but also just creates this hostile environment. Well, what's going to happen to the subsidies, for federal marketplaces? Anti-immigrant sentiments, again, continues to create major challenges. So potential considerations for future enrollment. There's a continued need to enhance cultural and linguistic program capacity, building on strengths and addressing the gaps that emerged. There's a need to more fully engage and involve diverse communities, assuring ongoing efforts both during and in between open enrollments. And finally, there's a need to monitor and assess outreach and enrollment investments and programs for diverse communities, making sure that as these programs are being implemented, if we're focusing on outreach to one population, are we in some way taking away resources, time, and investment from another population? So that balance is very important. Addressing those questions is key. Are we bridging disparities? Are we not changing disparities? Or are we growing disparities as we develop these programs for outreach and enrollment? Again, just want to reiterate that the ACA has created unprecedented opportunities to address disparities in health insurance. And while the first year of enrollment was generally successful, many, many data across states shows that racially and ethnically diverse communities, and in particular Hispanics, Latinos, African Americans in certain communities, did not enroll at the same rate as other populations. So how do we continue to target and tailor these groups, tailor initiatives to these groups? Fortunately, we have many experiences and lessons, as well as assets to build upon moving forward. Thank you. And our contact information, and our reports are available on the link below.